You're now listening to The Bradshaw Boys, a podcast where three relatively grown men binge the iconic HBO series Sex and the City. So dust off those DVDs and grab yourself a white wine or even a Cosmopolitan and settle in. Take it away, boys.
Welcome to the Bradshaw Boys, a podcast where three guys watch Sex and the City for the first time ever, mostly. I'm Corey Cavan.
I'm Kevin James Doyle.
My name is John Sieber.
And we have a very special guest
today. We have a very special guest. I think it is our first musician. I think it's our first person that lives in Nashville, Tennessee,
yeah.
I believe.
We had to snag you because we usually, it's hard to get people when they're traveling through. And it's going to be great for radio because it's not your classic New Yorker talking. We have country musician Elizabeth Cook here.
Elizabeth,
everybody.
Cook, welcome to the
Hi.
Show.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for having me. I'm so happy.
This is great. I have a few like factoids about you that I'm going to read off. Ooh. And then you can tell me if they're true or not.
Okay.
Just to introduce you to our fans and also just to go over some of the things you're into. So you are a country singer based in Nashville, but you're from Florida originally.
That's right.
Okay. You've played at the Grand Ole Opry over 400 times.
That's right.
Okay. What?
That's insane. Right. I'm not done yet. Mm-hmm. You host a SiriusXM show called Apron Strings on SiriusXM Outlaw Country.
Correct.
And then you are also, and I think this is awesome, you're on Squidbillies, the Adult Swim show.
I'm on Squidbillies,
You're the voice of which character?
I'm the voice of Tammy.
Okay, cool.
I'm a recurring character.
You're comedy and music and like Nashville country, like Grand Ole Opry.
I guess. I haven't, you know, drilled it down to that, but I'll take that.
I'll do it. I'll do it for you.
Thank you. I feel like I have better perspective on myself already.
There you go.
Well, wait, what's Squidbillies? I don't know the show.
Squidbillies is, you can tell us what Squidbillies is because you're on the show.
Yeah, it's a cartoon on Adult Swim, comes on Sunday nights, and gosh, I think it's in its 11th or 12th
season.
It's been
around, it's been
on forever.
Yeah.
And it's an Appalachian mud squid it's really great. It's smart commentary on the South and everything that you would think about the South. And sort of making fun of the South and totally getting away with it, which is hard to do.
And it's also
so
like crazy
they do a
adult
good job.
Swim. It's crazy adult swim
oh,
style
yeah.
too.
It's
like
insane.
Insane show.
It's insane.
That's great.
Didn't
yeah.
you do like a Squidbillies cruise at one point or something?
Well, Squidbillies came on the Outlaw Country cruise. So SiriusXM does a cruise for the Outlaw Country listeners.
Okay.
And because of my relationship with them, I connected them and they wrote an episode for the cruise and they came on the cruise and we did a live reading.
Oh, whoa, that's
yeah,
amazing.
It's pretty great. It's going to air this season.
Oh, that's
it's
awesome.
Air. Yeah, and we're going to show it on the boat. The cruise is going on again. It's fifth year.
Okay.
Sold out cruise ship of 4,000 Outlaw Country fans.
Oh, that's amazing.
It's insane.
Now, real quick, before we get into Sex and the City, I want to talk about Outlaw Country a little bit because my mom is from East Texas, Lufkin, Texas. Mm-hmm. My dad is from Panhandle. And, he's from like, he was in Oklahoma, then moved down to a town called Texline, which is literally the state line of Texas.
Right.
It was like
That's such
farming
a good
town.
Name for a city.
Texline. It's just the line of Texas.
But they spent a lot of time on that.
They did. They're like, Tex and line.
Texline. Yep.
But the only country I knew about growing up was what I think would be
considered the United States of America.
Yes. That's the only country I knew about. Our red, white, and blue country. No, it was Outlaw Country, which is like Willie Nelson, Waylon Jennings. Mm-hmm. How would you describe Outlaw Country for people that don't know what that is?
Yeah, it's definitely those folks. I mean, there's an exhibit at the Country Music Hall of Fame right now that goes in depth on that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's not necessarily a literal definition of the term outlaw. But these are guys that sort of bucked the Nashville system. And at that time, Nashville was making really slick music with orchestras and all this stuff. And so they weren't into that. They liked to smoke their weed. They liked to grow their hair long.
Mm-hmm.
They liked to do songs by singer-songwriters like Billy Joe Shaver and Robert Earl Keen. And there was a whole great singer-songwriter Texas scene. And so those two things sort of married and made what, you know, we call outlaw country as a genre. And it's good stuff.
That's cool. That's
awesome.
Incredible. Surprising to find out that Willie Nelson smokes weed.
It's wild, isn't it?
That's
it's
insane.
Wild. I know.
No idea.
I know. He's so angry, you know.
Yeah, yeah, seriously. What would you consider your music outlaw country?
I mean, only in those terms, really, in that you know, I did have big music road deals. I was on Atlantic Records. I was on Warner Brothers Records. Mm-hmm. I was almost on Sony, and I could not get along with any of those people. And I was writing weird songs and smoking a ton of weed and grew my hair out. I know. So here I am. Yeah. So I think so. I mean, I would say yes. I think that's fair.
Sounds like all the boxes checked.
I think.
Yeah.
And also you, another thing I was going to say, as I was listening to some of your music today, and I feel like it kind of fits with some of what we've found out about Sex and the City, because you have a song called, and you're going to, I'm going to screw up the title, but It Takes Balls to Be a Woman.
Yes. Sometimes It Takes Balls to Be a Woman. Yeah. And that was incredibly close. Yes.
Well, yeah, I missed the words, but it's off the album Balls.
Yes.
But I feel like that is kind of like what we've seen from Sex and the City, which is like, it's a lot of women, like the pilot about the show is, Carrie wants to have sex like a man.
Yeah. Right.
Miranda's like always trying to buck the system as a lawyer. Mm-hmm. So I feel like your style of music, I would say, I don't know.
I would even venture to say that Sex and the City might have informed that record.
Wow.
I was such a heavy watcher of that show. I watched it a lot, and then really? I watched it over and over again, and it was just so easy in those little 20-minute snippets and great to watch late at night, and just one little episode after another. It was escapism to New York City, which I fantasized about. It was girlfriends, it was alcohol, it was good shoes, it was like everything that I cared about at that time in my life. So I know that I was watching that show a lot when I wrote that album. So I would,
Do you remember how you got introduced to the show?
I wish I could. I think that I kept hearing about it, Sex and the City. I just kept hearing the title. Uh-huh. And I was like, well, God, it's probably something raunchy that I don't care about, whatever. Yeah. I was really into like indie films and documentaries, and I was doing Hollywood deals. So I was going down. I was like, who is Cassavetes? So I didn't really care. But knowing that HBO often does quality programming, at some point, I just happed upon an episode and loved Sarah Jessica Parker. Mm. And then I just fell in love with the show. Mm-hmm. And then I think I was at a yard sale and found like a season on DVD. And that's how I watched it on DVD. Mm. And the plastic covers actually like ripped on some of them. Yeah. Now I've like watched it so much.
Okay. Yeah. Cause when we first started watching, was it your sister, Kevin, that found a DVD set for us?
Yeah.
At a yard sale?
Well, now DVD, like, there was a while that it's like that's what everyone got for a gift, like Sopranos or Sex in the City, all the DVDs.
The Wire.
Yeah. Yeah. And now you can. My sister just found like every single season on the sidewalk for free. And it's like,
I don't know what to do with mine. I mean, I feel like this is going to be worth something. But now I have like the HBO app on my phone.
Yeah.
So I can.
I know it's a little easier to get rid of, to justify like keeping books. But I have some DVDs that I'm like, I'm not going to get rid of this because I remember when I bought it.
Yes.
And everything. Yeah. But it's, sometimes you're just like, what am I going to do? I don't even think I have a DVD player anymore.
There's some I can't let go, though. There's things that I have that I can't find, some certain documentaries and things that I like.
Yeah.
Like, oh, and I sign up for Fandor or whatever, and then I can't find it on Fandor, and I'm pissed off because I'm paying like whatever to them. It's like, yeah, well, they don't have this document.
But also there's good special features on DVDs that I feel like they don't always put online too.
Yeah, they don't. Where are like they don't do commentaries anymore. Like on
I feel like YouTube. It's not perfect, but I remember like Peter Jackson, Lord of the Rings, like got obsessed with. He's like, I wanted to know all this stuff when I was growing up about how to do movies. So he got really into special features. So there's like 40 hours of all this crazy stuff. And now there's like stuff on YouTube. You can see some behind the scenes stuff, but it's not as curated as when there was the DVD and it was like, you got to pay $20 and what you get is like 5 hours of like knowing the ins and outs of this. But you can find a lot of stuff on YouTube.
Do you remember the Lord of the Rings special features on the Lord of the Rings DVDs that came out?
Yeah,
they were the DVDs look like bound leather books, and they are just like hours. I bet they're on the Sex and the City ones. There's got to be at least some sort of good thing of special features.
I
would think.
Yeah, and I never bought the Sex and the City DVDs because this is the first time I watched the show. But I got all of Seinfeld's DVDs, and they got really into like they have commentary on like almost every episode,
really?
And like hours of sit down interviews and stuff. So
we got to start doing commentary on our podcast.
Yeah,
we need to release a commentary track of every episode.
I
felt of the
like when you said that, it really triggered.
Yeah, I was going through something at the time when we recorded that thing. So that line,
I couldn't really express what it was. I just found out that the Beastie Boys actually did commentary tracks of all their albums.
Oh,
I don't know where
that's
it exists,
genius.
But they go through and talk about like, oh, when we were making this, like this was going on, oh, and that kind of thing, which is really cool.
Where do you find something like that? Is that
I don't know. I saw it on my friend's Instagram. Go to Craig Rowan's Instagram. He's a comedy writer. You can see a clip of it there.
Awesome.
That's awesome.
I'm sure if you Google it, you can find it somewhere else too.
So, we're gonna watch the season two finale.
Okay.
We've never seen the show.
Have you seen?
And what?
Yeah. Have you seen the whole show?
Oh yeah.
Okay. Cool. All right. Cool. Good.
Yeah.
Do you still avidly watch Sex and the City? You used to watch it all
yes,
the time.
Yes. So I got an Apple TV in my den in my house.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And I have this theory that the Apple TV is cock blocking the internet from my bedroom TV because I don't have an Apple TV on my smart TV in my bedroom.
Right.
So I can't get online on my flat screen in my bedroom. I got problems, y'all. So I've been laying in bed with my iPad, and my iPad is real old and stupid, and the only thing it has on it is HBO. It does have HBO
okay.
on it, HBO Now okay. app. So yeah, just for something to kind of unwind to, and I know it's sort of just like a familiar
yeah.
at this point.
Yeah. It's like it's Friends. Like, that's what it...
Yeah.
Like the show, but also literally like...
Literally a friend.
You're like, oh, these four girls like... I know what I'm going to get. Here they are.
So just recently I started revisiting it like 5 years after my divorce, you know, life and so much more life under my belt that I relate to it in a whole different way. And I think good shows do that like good songs do.
Totally.
That,
that's true. Yeah. I agree with that.
Do you, do you have a favorite episode or favorite season?
Oh man. You know, I'd have to,
think about it. You know,
I mean, I really do like this season a lot, season two, where she goes through the breakup with Big mm-hmm. and sort of the transition of getting over that and how to navigate mm-hmm. like a breakup and everything that you go through.
Mm.
Yeah, we just, the end of last episode was when he was in the Hamptons at the Hamptons Hoedown and he runs into Big and the girl that he's with.
Yes, and Natasha with no soul.
See, we didn't know she was going to be on. We just thought it was like a single thing. People started commenting on our Instagram. We're like, oh shit, she's here for a while.
Yeah, they were like, oh, you met Natasha for the first time.
Uh-huh.
We were like, we just thought it was a rando girl.
Oh gosh, y'all wait.
Oh man. Oh,
cannot wait. That people have told us after that, the Hamptons episode, they were like,
I'm scared.
Well, yeah, people were like, just get ready. The show itself just kicks up. That's what everyone's told us.
I'm so tempted to spoil her.
You can spoil anything.
Spoilers are off the table.
Spoilers are off.
But really?
It's been a long time.
Well, all I want to say is just one comment is that there is a moment where Carrie and Natasha with no soul is going to bond. They are going to bond.
Wow.
But that's what I like about the show is that I feel like those are real moments.
And it's brutal to watch.
Oh,
it's
God.
Brutal. It's brutal.
Is Steve going to be there when they bond by any chance?
Oh.
Steve, which one, Steve? Is that
Steve Miranda's boy?
Oh, God. No.
Do you not like Steve?
No.
Wow.
He's so goofy.
I love this.
You sure you're not thinking of Skipper?
No, Skipper's goofy too, but I mean, Skipper's goofy in a cuter way. Steve is just like, with them dumb basketball shorts and his dumb basketball shirt all the time, and he's just walking around.
I can't wait for a good Steve talk later.
Yeah,
okay, so wait.
I'm not into Steve. And I mean, he's probably a good balance for Miranda. I mean, she's a nerd too, you know?
Yeah.
So in her nerdy, like uptight way, he's probably like the perfect like cocker spaniel man for her or whatever, but he's goofy. So
we may not know him if they're not from the first two seasons, but if there was one or two guys on the show that you're just like, oh, woe is me. I'm going to need that.
I want to write a song about that guy.
Well,
who is it?
Guys that I liked or didn't like. Let's see.
Guys that you like.
That I liked. Oh man. Okay. This is going to stump me. I haven't thought of the show in those broader terms in a moment.
Or you can do, you can play a game of FMK. F for you people at work right now. F Mary Kill with guys from Sex and the City.
Yeah. Right. I mean, I like the, there's the guy that she gets with, I think it's, well, you would have seen this. She's, it's the guy that she just hooks up with. that's kind of snarky dude.
Episode?
And then, yeah. And then she sort, well, he's like, oh, I'm just going to, he just kind of uses her for sex and then rolls on. And she decides she's going to that. And she ends up doing that too.
Right. Yeah.
I thought, you know, I thought that was kind of cool, but that may just be where I am in life right now. yeah, that dude.
For me, mine would be fuck turtle, marry turtle, kill myself because my life would be horrible with turtle. Just kidding.
Turtle.
Do you remember Turtle?
Turtle went for my very first
turtle
bad breath.
Turtle had bad breath.
Oh, Turtle.
With Samantha.
And she dresses him up in Helmet Lane.
Yeah.
Oh, Turtle. And he loves the pears, all the different, or he's always
the mushrooms.
Like, the mushrooms and the pears. Like he really like goes down the rabbit hole with his palate.
We got a real fan. Remember.
I told you, yeah.
So, okay, well, we're going to go watch season 2 finale and then we'll come back and talk about it.
Okay, let's unpack it.
All right.
Episode 30, X and the City. After learning of Big's engagement, a freaked out Carrie tries to cope with the ramifications. Miranda sleeps with Steve for the first time after their breakup, and Charlotte tries to overcome her fear of horseback riding. Samantha dates a guy who's Mr. Too Big and is determined to overcome his over-endowment. And now, back to the boys.
Hey, all you true crime fans, this is Mike Ferguson.
And this is Mike Morph.
And we'd like to invite you to listen to our podcast, Criminology.
Launched in 2017, we've covered a variety of strange cases from murders to missing persons. Some of the cases are ones you may not have heard of.
Other cases we cover are some of the most historic in true crime. There are 200 episodes of Criminology available to binge on right now. And new episodes come out every Saturday night.
Subscribe to Criminology today, wherever you listen to your podcast.
Welcome back, everybody. Wow.
I'm going to need a seltzer to talk about this finale.
Man. That was
My emotions are parched.
Jeez Louise. Let's just dive right into it. There's lots of happening.
Stuff. John, do the recap.
X in the City. We're talking about X's in this episode. A lot of different X's. We're talking about Big. We're talking about Steve. We're talking about Taddy the horse. We're talking about Samantha's boyfriend with a small wiener. We're talking about all of them. We got tons of X's.
And guess where they're at?
In the city.
And they're in the city. Kicks off right away with Carrie and Miranda walking to Steve in his basketball shorts.
Yeah, you called it completely as
with Elizabeth. His basketball.
Mm-hmm. He was holding the basketball.
Mixed reactions amongst the crowd when that happened.
Yes.
Very mixed reactions.
Ugh.
Yeah, Liz was not into
not
it.
Not into it.
I can honestly say it was the most excited I've been in the last 25 days.
Well, don't get it.
He's
don't
a
get excited
dangler.
When you get excited in basketball shorts, it's a major problem.
Gotcha.
It's
like, everything's so dangling around in there, and he's just dangling everywhere.
That's what we wore in middle school.
It was
all the time.
Umbros in middle school.
Yeah, if you don't have a Trapper Keeper handy, you're in trouble.
Yeah. Steve had a basketball, but then they split from him. So that happened.
So we have Miranda running to Steve. We have Carrie calling Big to form a friendship with Big. We'll talk about that a little bit later, what happens there. So it involves some dangerous stairs and some trays falling in a restaurant. We have Charlotte trying to get back into horseback riding. She sees a horse in Central Park, misses her horse, Taddy, and tries to rekindle her love of horseback riding. Lastly, we have Samantha who meets Mr. Cocky on the side of the road, and things are a little bit too big even for Samantha.
Yeah. I gotta say that Charlotte storyline was pretty forced.
It was so forced. They had to write Charlotte into that episode, and that's how they.
Yeah.
Well, John always says whenever you see it happens a lot with Samantha and Charlotte. Whenever you see Charlotte with this one storyline with a guy or something that you're like, this is never going to come back. But my question is. Is this one going to come back with her and that horse? Are we going to see that horse again?
Do you want me to answer that?
Oh, is...
the horse comes back?
No. She does end up down the road in a relationship that is a recurring storyline with a guy.
Okay, but it's not that horse.
And it's a prominent...
It's not Taddy.
It's not Taddy the horse.
And her mother-in-law is amazing in that storyline as
Very
well.
Excited
so
that.
Yeah, there's going to be some new characters, and those characters will be developed.
That's good to know.
Yeah, so, like, I mean, the horse thing didn't bother me because, like Corey said, every single time, like, Charlotte gets in some sort of relationship, you know it's going to end in some ridiculous fashion.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Why not at least have a horse there where... You know, it's
diversity.
Not
diversity.
Yeah, mix it up. And it
I will say the
provides
way
provides you with the perfect opportunity to have a metaphor about whether you can whether you can tame big
also,
or man.
It seemed like, I mean, Samantha had the whole thing with the guy with the giant penis.
Yeah, and there last season never, was tiny penis.
There was never a joke about a giant horse penis. They kind of missed an opportunity there.
They really did miss
that.
Could have
been like, I feel like I'm dating Sadie.
Yeah.
That never happened.
Do you remember when I told that story on the podcast, like second episode?
What?
About when I came here, my first trip to New York on a choir trip. And we looked over and I just saw the gigantic horse dong. I mean, freaking enormous. Like, it was like that guy.
It's rattling.
Yeah.
It really is. Yeah.
That's amazing.
But first thoughts for you?
Yeah. Do you know the last time you saw this episode?
Oh, no.
Been a while?
No. And in my sort of recent revisit to the series, mm-hmm. I was about two episodes away from this one.
Okay.
So, I mean, it's just, wow, navigating a breakup in that just brutal moment where you have to move on.
Yeah.
And it's the worst. Yeah. It's the worst. And it's one of the things I love about the show. I mean, it's got a sense of humor. It's silly. Mm-hmm. It's got fashion. It's mm-hmm. got New York City. I feel like they do New York City well.
They do.
And for someone that doesn't get to live here and just visit, you know, infrequently, I'm like, you know, it's like a fantasy to lunch in places like that and have that kind of life. And, you know, stomp around in crazy shoes and crazy outfits and stuff. So, but then also what you learn, not only about, I feel like it's educational from a sexual standpoint in a country where we are like, we don't have the best sex education in the world. Mm-hmm. And I feel like it informs that. And then also like navigating relationships with men and women.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a public freaking service is what
I'm saying. I think, I know also the chances, I guess, in a small town, the chances of running into someone are very huge. In a bigger city, in a way, there's, I guess, since we don't have cars, like the opportunity to run into people is like pretty big here.
Wow, really?
Like
that makes sense more on the sidewalk.
More than you'd think. Like run into people and have nowhere to go. You know, like rather than. So I don't know.
You're all exposed and in groups, sort of transitioning from place to place all the time.
Right.
Yeah.
So you're very exposed.
Yeah. And Corey mentioned this a little bit last week, is that you start forming like parts of the city start forming parts of your relationship.
Right.
And they are like actually you'll walk by a street corner or a cafe or a coffee shop because we're never in our apartments. And those actually become the memories themselves.
I swear I had that with my ex-boyfriend here on this trip. Like, my boyfriend is that still in Nashville, but like we went by somewhere that he and I hung out and even my ex-husband, like Veselka's. Like we would go to Veselka's in the middle of the night.
Yes.
And that's I remember the first time I ever ate there and one of my first trips to New York City ever. And I was amazed.
Yeah.
But yeah. And
that's
it's
such
nostalgic.
A pointed memory.
Yeah.
Cause even in a relationship, like a relationship you would still be in, you'd be like, oh, I remember we went to Veselka in the middle of the night. Or like, remember we went to Katz's or whatever and all those things. And it's so much more pointed in other things where you're like, oh, this is the map of the places I went that I
especially
can't
if,
go by yet. Or
yeah.
Whatever.
If somebody works at some place and you're like, you have a certain route that then after work, I always used to go on this route. And then you just may not walk past a certain street. You do like every single week for a year. And then you see, you end up like on a street that you know is there, but you're like, oh shit, this is the street I used to always walk down to go pick her up from work or something. Like,
totally.
And I think what I liked about this episode is it was like in that situation, if you see your ex, play it cool, totally screw over the guy from the bodega, run away, leave the flowers and embarrass yourself. That's exactly. That's how you handle it.
That's how you handle it. Totally. And just leave him standing there.
Yeah. There was actually a lot of running away from and not paying a business. Cause they did that with the horse too.
Yes. They just ran out. She was
had already paid.
Okay.
Yeah. Because Carrie says you already paid, but
she was already saddled up.
I know the guy did saddle the horse up.
I would have loved if Charlotte just like fell in love with that dude. Just like that schlubby guy.
The horse guy.
With the white tennis shoes.
Maybe that's her reoccurring love.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
His out, dad
yeah.
jeans and the white tennis shoes. It's awesome.
Charlotte had some high waisted like horse riding jeans too.
She had her Levi's on.
Yeah, she had her like old Levi's or Wranglers or whatever.
505s. Mm-hmm.
I did think that the fashion in this episode like stuck out to me because Carrie in that scene is wearing like gold lamé shoes and keeps complaining that she's stepping in like horse crap, which I'm like, that's kind of on you. Also, I don't know where there is a stable in the middle of Manhattan.
Jeremy said there was one though. It's there somewhere.
Okay.
Yeah, there's all the there's one in Prospect Park.
True.
But okay. they probably weren't in Brooklyn. But
Yeah.
Well, there's the episode where they do the trapeze stuff too, and that might be like in Queens or something.
In Chelsea. That's in Chelsea. Right off the West Side Highway. That's true. So it makes
a country girl like me be like, "Wow, there's everything there. Oh my God, y'all."
There's also, I think I've said this on this podcast before, but there's also a shooting range in Chelsea where I used to go into this building for auditions, and as you're walking past the first floor, you hear. It's like a police training, and you can get a membership there to just go shoot guns during the day. So yeah, that stuff's just like all around.
That's crazy.
Yeah,
I will say that like bitter, upset Carrie, I think, is my favorite version of her.
Really?
Like post her conversation with Big, when she was hanging out with Charlotte, and she was just in a really low place. I really enjoyed that Carrie a lot.
She does it well.
Yeah, she does. Was that when they were walking?
No, that's when they were in the horse stable, and she was just salty, complaining about her shoes. I don't know. I just thought it was a different version of Carrie. She's either like happy or trying to figure something out or like freaking out. And so just to have her down and out and upset and cursing and getting pissed about her shoes.
She's able to inflict pain in her voice. Like there was a moment where she's on the phone and she's talking to him and she says, like, we could be friends or something. And the way when she says something, like her voice breaks.
Yeah.
I felt like you can feel her pain.
The acting was really good in this episode.
It was.
Yeah. There's a lot of really good acting in it.
Yeah.
Agreed. I think the dialogue was good. And it's always easier to act well when you've got something to work with. And you can tell when they have to say the goofy lines that are kind of like, that was a forced joke.
The dialogue was good, but Michael Patrick King, shame on you. Too Big, Goldie Cox. Shame on you.
That was rough.
Goldie Cox.
Shame on you.
I want it just right.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Carrie's question that she asked. She said, if you love someone and you break up, where does the love go? Is it possible to transform love to friendship?
And someone, I told you this, but I retweeted this on our Twitter account. Someone put up a thing that said breakups in 2018, and it was that same picture of Carrie, but it says, if you break up and you love someone, where do the memes go? That's what it is in 2018. Where do your memes go? What happens to them?
So do you guys think love is like energy? Like it can't be created or destroyed? It just...
Well, I think from a philosophical perspective.
Is that the right... Did I say the right principle there?
Mass, I think you did. Think well, you were a were you a philosophy major?
I was.
Okay.
But so we don't talk about thermodynamics too much.
That's right. Yeah. So maybe this is more psychology than philosophy. But it would be like, where does is love energy? I think that points to there's some form of loss. She's just like, there's like an emotional hole because you're like, I had this force going somewhere and now I don't know where that goes anymore. And so I was used to directing that at something. Now that's been taken away. So I don't know what I can do with it.
And I think the problem is...
Yeah, date a horse.
Yeah, date a horse. But the problem with exes and trying to be friends with them has nothing to do with the energy that was created between those two. It's between the new couple because it's like there was something created. So if you're trying to... Like the reason why the generally smart thing to do or generally proven thing to do is to cut off the ex and not have a close relationship after is because there's another person with new feelings that you're trying to build something with. Right. And it's just like, are there stories where it goes well? Yeah. Are there more stories where it's like you end up, you know, creating something that causes trouble in the new relationship you're trying to build? Absolutely.
Yeah. You know? I'm definitely from the Miranda school where it's like, I need you to not exist.
Yeah, yeah.
We didn't work out. Yeah. I need you to not exist. I would rather just this have like go away now because I'm going to have to completely reconfigure everything. And it's too much work to reconcile whatever didn't go right here into something that's okay. Like,
becomes increasingly difficult with social media existing.
Yeah.
And being able to completely monitor someone's life after you break up.
Oh my God. You shouldn't dismiss history, I guess, you know, that's person was a part of your life. If there's a way to not lose all that investment, maybe that's good. I don't know.
Yeah.
I think it's always managing that because I think sometimes like if it ends on good terms, I don't know. Sometimes it can help when it doesn't end on good terms, because then you're like, or if the person marks it, not even like ends in a mean way, but it's just like, hey, I do not talk to me. Wish you well, and that be it. Because it always ends up being like, I think I can handle that. And then you get whatever thinking you can handle it is. And it's like, no, you can't. Like something happened. Even I was thinking about Natasha. Is that her name?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Natasha, like in the car, even when it's like you touch someone's hair in your face, it's like, that's my fucking fiance.
After our engagement party.
Yeah. Like even that is like, I get it within the show. It's not real life. They're creating that moment. But I'm like,
but do you think Natasha had seen the Robert Redford movie? Because if so, she would have been cool.
She would have understood.
She'd be like, oh, that's a Hubble moment.
Did you say the spaceship?
Can I just say?
Well, she's also not emotionally charged, which is why he works with her. So, of course, it wouldn't be a problem. Natasha has no problem with anything ever.
We don't know this yet, because we don't. We only know like.
Spoiler alert!
Damn it!
Sorry.
No, I'm totally kidding.
You said spoilers. No.
They are okay.
Yeah, we've heard. We've heard that she comes around again. We just at the Hamptons party. She was now. She's, in hindsight, yes. It was a thing where she was like. It's. I've heard a lot about you, Carrie, and then she just walks off.
I'll be honest. I've been nothing but impressed with Natasha so far.
Well, yeah.
How so?
She's just class. She's a class act. She was interested in meeting Carrie at the party. She seemed cool with Carrie putting her hands in Big's hair, which she shouldn't have done.
She's the Ivanka Trump of Sex and the City. She's just glazed over, looks gorgeous, yeah. Moves perfectly.
I was going to say, throw her on foreign policy, even though she has no idea what she's doing.
Totally. Right. She seems like she seems like she cares about things, but is very detached. She,
wait, isn't Big in real estate?
Oh, wow. Big is Kushner.
Jared Kushner.
Oh, my God.
Is that his name? We don't know his name yet. It could be.
Jared Kushner.
The city has manifested itself into our political culture.
Yeah, it really has.
So we have a Ruthiness from Instagram says, have you tried to be friends with your exes? Be sure. I know you will talk about Steve. That's what she said. You said you can't do it. I haven't tried. No, I definitely haven't tried. Have you?
Not really. No.
Let's start tonight.
I had
Kevin, get out your phone.
Kevin, let's do an experiment.
Let's all get
everyone
out of
for
here.
The next 15 minutes. No, not like a serious ex. There have been people that I am patently like not good at it with any level, because I don't like confrontation. But I've like gotten to the point where some people are like, it's fine, idiot. Like, we went out for 2 months. But like a serious relationship, no, I haven't.
Yeah.
See, problem with Carrie is like, if you love someone and you break up, where does the love go? My love for that person goes in steering me in the doing a complete 180 and going in a different direction.
Mm.
Like what you're saying, if I have like feelings for someone and we break up, I am going to steer my entire ship to be going the opposite way. Mm-hmm. And I'm never going to
say it just went into fucking crushing it in the gym.
Crushing it in the gym is part of it, man.
And that's usually where,
but like, I have no desire to be friends with someone like them exes with. If it was a serious thing, there's no desire for me, like even to want to have that friendship, to even want to do what Carrie did. It's just like that person for all intents and purposes has like been cut off. And it's just done, you know?
Yeah, I think, I don't have that much trouble with this whole question, because I think the people that force that question usually don't end up reaping benefits. They end up reaping a bunch of drama just based on the fact that it's like, it doesn't usually work. I'd love to hear your story about how it works. If anyone wants to message us stories about how it works, I'd love to hear them. They don't apply to the majority of people, though.
Yeah, I think sometimes if people, you know, if you were married and had kids and you have to figure out a way to work it out.
Yeah.
But when you have no incentive to do that going forward, you have nothing that you have to share going forward.
Here's a perfect example. Okay. What's her name from Fleetwood Mac?
Stevie Nicks.
They thought they worked it out. And who was the guitar player? Lindsey Buckingham. Yeah. They thought they worked it out, right? We can be friends. We can still be in a band together. Guess what? They just kicked Lindsey Buckingham out of the band, and then he fucking sued him.
Right.
That's true.
Well,
I couldn't handle it.
So I have like an ex that we sort of like pretend to be friends, because we still, you know, have like a ton of mutual friends and we're in the same community and all those things. So it's like, and not friends, but I guess we pretend to be friendly and okay.
Yeah.
But it's totally, it's under the surface of that, like, politeness. Yeah. There's like, there's seething resentment. And even when there's not from my direction, then I'll find out, I'll get it from him. Like, you still got like the light bill in my name, you bitch, you know? Uh-huh. Oh God, you know, yeah. I don't know.
So yeah. Does that ever come out like face, like at parties or face to face? Or is it just like, are you guys ever in the same room at
mm-hmm.
times?
Mm-hmm.
Is it weird or is it mm-hmm. just like, okay. Mm-hmm. How do you deal with that? Has it ever bubbled over?
Exit
into...
as quickly yeah, as yeah. possible. Like, you know, try to make it, give just enough to make it socially okay and yeah. then get the hell out.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah.
That's the toughest part is the sharing friends part. That's what's kind of nice about Big and Carrie. They don't share.
They don't have any friends.
They have that's no true. Friends. So it's an easy cutoff.
That is the trickiest part.
Yeah.
And all of Big's friends like that we've seen are just older single real estate guys.
Yeah. They're all like, hi, how are you?
Yeah.
So like he doesn't hang out with anyone in her world.
Or
yeah.
the woman that only had clear liquids at her party. Was that one of Big's friends? Yeah.
The woman that didn't have anything that was brown. Yeah.
Can I say that I really related to Samantha in this episode a lot.
How so?
The scene when they were describing the movie with Hubble and she was just completely out of it. Almost every single time you guys talk about something pop culture-ish, like the whole Fleetwood Mac thing, I'm just straight Samantha. I'm just so confused as to what you guys are talking about.
Is it just music? Because we've talked about this before. You
it's a lot
never
of
really listened to music.
Yeah, it's
not
like,
you're not a big pop culture...
I guess I'm not. Just I thought trivia-y. I was, but maybe, I mean, I just don't know like a lot of the references. Mm, yeah. I don't know.
I think that was a good scene with Samantha's being like, what?
When you were talking about the Lord of the Rings special editions looking like a book, I was right there with you. I knew exactly what you're talking about.
Good.
But you know.
I totally did not. I was Samantha.
So at some point,
no clue. Anything about that.
Yeah. Someone's a Samantha at all times.
That's
Game of Thrones territory for me. Same thing.
Yeah.
Glaze over.
I feel like a Samantha. Yeah. Whenever people get really intense into like politics, policy conversations, I'm kind of the Samantha. I'm always like, yeah, I don't know. We should help people, but I don't know. Like, I don't know how to, I don't know how to navigate this.
I could listen to Kevin talk about that all day.
Yeah.
I can talk about it all day.
And listen, whether or not you can or won't, he will make you.
Yeah, whether you sit there and listen.
You sit there and take it.
All right. So who here has seen The Way They Were?
I have not. I have not.
You have?
Long.
Is that the movie they're talking about?
Yes.
Is it as good as they say?
You know who really loved it was my mother. I mean, it's an old movie. I mean, not like black and white. But
is it like 60s or 50s?
I think it's more 70s. Yeah, more 70s. Streisand and is it Robert Redford?
Robert Redford,
yeah. And the guy that plays JJ, he's the third person on the list, is named Bradford Dillman.
Oh, what a Dillman.
That's a good name.
That's a great name.
I'll read it says opposites attract during their college days. Kate Morawski, Barbara Streisand, a politically active Jew, meets Hubble Gardner. IMDb is just harsh. So like, okay. A feckless wasp. That's what he is. So it's a Jewish person and a wasp, which is, what's that, white Anglo-Saxon Protestant?
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah. Years later, in the wake of World War II, they meet again, and despite their obvious differences, they marry. Hubble wants to be a screenplay writer, so the two move to California despite Katie's objections. They prosper there, but as the Hollywood blacklist looms, Katie's activism threatens her husband's reputation. Ooh, that's kind of
like McCarthyism?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. That's actually got a little layer they didn't even cover in here.
See, the actor's name is Bradford Dillman?
That's what JJ's name is.
I think we need to use that for our fake assistant that we're going to be creating soon.
Oh, yes.
Barbara Dillman.
Barbara Dillman. Barbara Dillman. Yeah, we are going to get a, we're getting a fake assistant. So,
yeah.
Reach out to Barbara. You can DM her if you want.
B.Dillman@gmail.com.
That's amazing. That's what, we shouldn't say our plan?
I don't know. Should we? At this point now we have to. We've already started talking about it.
I think we'd be
very apparent about our plan. We'd be very open about it.
Well, if that's the strategy, none of us have discussed this other than a text that I got that just said scorched earth.
Well, we're talking about some certain guests that we want to get in contact with, and we were talking about strategies of how to get a hold of them. And then John and I, it was my birthday weekend, and I was a little tipsy, and I just told John, I was like, you know what we do for guests from now on? scorched earth. We just, no more strategy. We just reach out to whoever, whenever, and we said we needed an assistant.
Yeah.
A fake assistant.
A fake female assistant.
So, okay, got it.
So the name will be Barbara Dillman.
I thought this was going to be a real plan.
Oh, it is. Oh,
yeah, so the plan is scorched earth.
The most effective plans are plans that you tell your enemies you're going to do and still execute them. You hear that, Chris Noth? Barbara Dillman will reach out to you, and she will book you on this show.
You're getting Dillmaned, okay?
Well, that being said, I think, listeners, if you have a better fake assistant name, please let
us
know.
Send us your fake assistant name. And make sure that when you imagine what they are, make sure they're a feckless wasp.
Yeah.
Please.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Would you, you probably have a manager, right?
I do.
So, like, if you got, do you think, if we reached out to you, to your manager or our, or you personally, and we just said, we're these three guys doing this podcast, we want to be on. If you just literally said, like, hey, this is their booker, they do this podcast, mm-hmm. do you think the fake assistant would help?
I do. Absolutely.
You think so?
Oh, yeah. You got to have a front. You got to have a front. Well, it makes you seem like you've got enough going on that you can't be handling the details because you guys are too busy, like, you know.
And to be honest, that's
rolling.
That is true. We are in over our heads and we can barely handle it. So I think have us creating a fake thing, that's just us being even more.
And then the best part is if we ever get big enough where we do need the person, instead of finding the right person, we just have to find a Barbara Dillman that's looking for work.
Or we find the right person and we're like, if you really want this job, you'll legally change your name to Barbara Dillman.
Listen, you're qualified in every way and we really love you. The only problem is your name.
So listen, Richard, just change it to Barbara Dillman. Okay? That's all you can do.
Okay. All right. We're definitely, unless you guys think we should change it, Barbara Dillman, which stands for the way we were. And then it's a nice little joke. And then we can say it to Michael Patrick King when he checks his email.
Yeah.
You doof.
Just kidding. The other way to get them on. Just call the creator of the show a doof.
All right. Hey, let's talk. Let's talk Carrie and Big in the restaurant. I think that was a pretty important scene. Yeah.
Do we know what restaurant that was? I'm sure they said it, but it looked like a bank lobby in the 1950s that they just set up tables.
That was an expensive scene. I mean, there's tons of people in there.
A lot of people in there. Maybe they just shot it guerrilla style.
And they
didn't even have permits.
Yeah.
That was just regular.
See, I love how you guys sort of unpack it technically.
Yeah, it was a lot of stuff.
There's a continuity problem.
I know. I don't know if anyone heard me, but there was one Miranda scene where I just, under my breath, I went, that was a bad cut. Because I just know this is one like weird edit. But yeah, so that scene was it was a pretty charged scene. Big is super nervous walking into lunch.
Yeah.
First time we ever seen him off his cool.
We don't see Big nervous ever, really.
He keeps his cool.
Yeah.
And he trips, manslides.
Yeah.
You know what? I guess now that I think about it, I like the fact that it was like, what are you doing, Big? And the reason why he's going and she's going are totally different. He's going to tell her the news and wouldn't go otherwise. She thinks they're going to start this friendship. And I guess I didn't put that. Knowing when it was set up, I was like, why is he even doing this? Like, why is he playing with her heart like this? And I guess looking back, I'm like, that's kind of nice, dude.
Yeah.
Was it nice?
Well, his intentions are good. It's fumbling. But how else is he going to break that devastating news to her?
Yeah.
And so, I mean, it shows that he still cares enough to take time to try. And he even calls and follows up after it goes badly. And it's like all like really heartfelt. And he still has a soft spot for her. And it does give you hope, though, when he's nervous at first. It's like, oh, my God, he's nervous, too. Their chemistry is undeniable.
Yeah.
Like they're going to, you know, they're definitely going to get back together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the tension of that carries the series.
Yeah.
The tension of the on and off and trying to make it work with Mr. Big carries it. And every relationship she has going forward is just like, not Big.
Interesting. Yeah. Wow.
What was her intentions in calling him? Like,
just to be friends. Just
really?
Yeah. She just wants to keep this thing going. She's like,
wait, keep this thing going and being friends, or keep this thing going and be like, I want to be friends, but I want
to. She was just writing an article that she wasn't even sure it was possible to be friends with someone. So, like, was she really hoping for a friendship?
I think so.
Well, she says with the girl, she says, well, it's so childish that, you know, we have this deep connection with someone and then, you know, that we can't even be. She basically implies that it's immature to not be able to move forward with them in some capacity.
Yeah. Yeah. Sorry. I'm just like thinking about. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. Yeah. You're right. Like she, I don't know. I don't know what her intentions were, but the emotional like blow up of that completely makes sense from a thing of like getting a bomb dropped on you.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Also, I don't think there's any way she couldn't not have that. I think that like the best you could hope for is they have a lunch. He doesn't break that news. And then at the end, they're like, well, friends, like it's going to be awkward. Right.
Or
no
they
what.
Do what Miranda and Steve did and start making out.
Right. Totally. Which that is also
like,
very
that
possible.
Can happen. And so, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think she's feeling around in the dark trying to reconcile. It doesn't feel good as it is.
Right,
and
right.
She's just feeling around in the dark trying to make it feel better.
Right.
And
yeah.
Like grasping at straws, really.
Yeah.
I think it all ended up being, I guess, everyone kind of did the right thing in this, which was kind of nice. Like everybody was like acting in good faith, doing the best they could do. Miranda, Steve, Big, and Carrie. Like, I mean, Carrie blew up at the restaurant, but I totally understand why. I guess there was no one that I'm like, you're an idiot. Why would you do that? Like, I was kind of in with everybody. I mean,
except
like,
Steve.
Man.
Steve.
Oh, well, hey.
We need to talk about Steve.
We do need to talk about Steve.
Did you know?
I will say
when
this,
when he goes
though,
to her apartment.
Before we talk about Steve, I will say one thing that I, because we've talked about this, like John rails pretty hard on Carrie sometimes. And like,
I was okay with her, I think, this episode.
The thing that I thought was interesting is like, she has that blow up at the restaurant, which like, with emotions, you're like, okay, sure, I can understand that. But then on the phone call, she was like, she basically was like, I overreacted. I'm really sorry. I feel like that's one of the first times we've like, seen her come back like that.
If she wouldn't have done that, and if she would have like gone to her friends and just complained about Big, I thought that was a real mature thing of her to do to apologize like that. And that actually made me okay with her blow up because it was realistic. It's probably what would have happened. And that would have been fine. What I wouldn't have liked is for her to not to acknowledge it, you know?
Totally. Yeah. Seemed like some maturity. Well, now we got to go back to.
Yeah, we got to talk about your beef with Steve.
And we would like to do that.
We'd like to do that in a separate part of our podcast.
What part of the podcast?
Well,
it's a favorite time. It's a favorite guy. It's Steve Talk.
Miranda.
Good.
All right.
No.
Welcome to Steve Talk, podcast within a podcast where we talk about Steve.
That's right.
Unfortunately,
our guest today
our
is
guest
Elizabeth,
is not a fan of Steve.
Elizabeth Cook on Steve Talk. You do not like Steve.
No.
You're the first person that we've talked to at Sex and City does not like Steve.
Is it the basketball shorts?
Well, that's part of it.
That he's a dangler?
He's a dangler. He's dangling around in his basketball shorts and he talks like a baby. He talks like a baby. I'm like, you're a grown ass man.
Man, because
like,
some people find that endearing.
Up. I do not know. If I went out with a guy and like he like goo-goo talked to me like that with his basketball shorts, I would be like, get out of here. Go away.
We frequently in Steve Talk like to reenact scenes of Sex and the City.
Oh,
I was hoping
no.
that maybe...
I'm going to Steve for Halloween. I just decided.
You met... Okay. Yeah.
Maybe
it won't be hard.
Maybe you could... We could do a scene in which you are a woman at Steve's bar. And Steve tries to pick you up and offer to buy you a drink. And maybe we could hear what your reaction would be.
Okay. Lay it on me.
Wait, are you in this scene? You're a woman. Are you yourself, Elizabeth
yes.
Cook, the
yeah,
singer?
Yeah, well, let's
yes.
define
okay.
that. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay,
I am.
So you're
oh,
you.
Okay.
You're
okay.
you. You're back okay. in the 90s in okay. New York City.
He okay. saw you at Rockwood.
Yeah.
He just wandered into
yep.
Rockwood.
There we go. That's our scene.
Okay. All right.
You're bartending at Rockwood.
Gotcha.
Yep.
Okay, cool. We have the scene set. Okay.
Action.
I saw you on the stage playing, and hey, my name's Steve. What's your name? Is it Elizabeth?
Where are you from?
You
sound like a seductive third grader. like a third grader is trying to come on to me.
Wow. Well, you know, it's kind of like we're on the playground right now and you're the girl with the pretty voice.
You're creeping me out, man.
Oh, okay. Well, is it these basketball shorts?
I'm not into it. When's the last time you washed those?
Wow. For a Southern girl, you're really mean. You, I thought they were supposed to be sweet down in the South.
Well, for a New York City man, you're really soft.
Oh, man. All right.
It's a baby.
I'm going to go cry now.
Man, she was a real...
Man.
She was a real...
You were a real pisser.
That was a real.
What is that? Is an accent?
Do.
That is a real. That where what
he's
is
supposed
that?
To be from Queens. Queens. He's supposed to be from Queens.
Queens. I was a lucky guess.
That was great.
That was good. You really handled Steve.
Yeah.
I thought he was going to pull you over and get a date with you.
I clearly have a lot of problems with. Well, I know, like, you know, growing up, how I grew. If I took Steve home to my father, he would be like, I don't think so. I don't know.
Oh man, yeah, Steve. Well, Steve, the scene he had with Miranda where he went to her apartment and he went in and said his feelings were really hurt. He's a very sensitive guy.
Very sensitive. It was a shitty thing that Miranda did.
He was like, it's a shitty thing you did to me, Miranda. And then he was like,
it's not that shitty.
They're running away. I agree. I don't think it's that bad.
But I don't think it's that bad either.
I don't think it's that bad.
She has no obligation to speak to him
completely.
Ever again.
Yeah, Steve is the one who overreacted there.
Yeah, that's true. But then he got her back.
He went and he kissed her there.
Yeah.
Where friends aren't supposed to kiss.
Yeah, he said the friends kiss
he
here.
He did.
The friends
right
kiss.
The, right in the neck. A couple friend kisses.
That was, I thought that I liked that scene. I was like, that's a well-written, that was like a well-played, like, rom-com-y type scene.
I will say that was a strong game moment for Steve. That was a strong game. He was exerting himself.
There we go.
He was acting like a man.
There we go.
And like, okay, I'm going to like.
He was not in basketball shorts. He was wearing pants.
He was wearing pants.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was probably still dangling around in there.
He just wears the baggiest boxer shorts.
He does. Yeah, you could about see his business in that. And I was like,
you're right.
Please. I swear there were pubes. And when my wife was laying up there, was like, so what are we now? And I'm like, well. Let's get some briefs and we'll talk about it.
We gotta get Steve into some like those what is that? To exist boxer briefs. Those,
yeah.
Like,
or MeUndies.
Or MeUndies. MeUndies. Sponsor this podcast for Steve. Wait, speaking of another dangler, real quick, Samantha dated the guy, Mr. Too Big, the guy with the giant dong. We covered that. She at the end, she said she missed James, the small penis guy.
So I was actually, in the season one premiere, I thought it was played out how they went with the small penis stuff a little bit too much. But doing the callback and bringing this guy as being Mr. Too Big, mm-hmm. I actually really liked it.
Yeah.
I thought it was like, it played out really well. I liked when they said, you know, and now Samantha's made her first friend. Cause yeah. I loved her Black Widow analogy of like biting off their head and just like get rid of them at all costs. And then that scene where he like came in, cuddled her and she like gave him a hug. I thought was really.
She awesome. Had empathy for a man.
That's true. She did. And I do feel like she, yeah, I agree.
That dude.
She grew.
If he was like. It kind of is a bummer because at a certain point he's just going to have to be like, before they even go on a first date, just be like, I just need to know, do you have a big vagina? Or else this isn't going to work out.
Do you think that actor actually has a tiny penis?
That
guy was massive.
He was jacked.
That guy was huge. I don't know. Maybe. Yeah. I don't know. I don't want
to
speculate.
I mean, not big enough to like to ruin life with Samantha, certainly. Because she's seen a lot of dicks in her day. So he must have been rocking a massive dong.
I thought it was very believable.
That's why I thought the whole
well cast.
Yeah, there you go. All right, I'll stop there.
Well, here's one question that we can finish off with, and then we'll do our scores. But it said it's so good. This point onward, S. Newton 123 said this. Oh no. Sorry, they asked another one. Someone said I'm sorry. I thought I had it, but I lost it. Oh, here. Season 3 marks a huge change for the series. What are your predictions? So, I say, just because some of the things that I do know, I predict that Miranda and Steve stay together for a little longer, and I don't know if they break up again. I don't think we would handle another breakup with them. I think they're together from now on, if that's who she ends up with. And also, I think Big does not get married to this girl. That's my guess.
I think tonally the show continues in this like a little more dramatic. It feels like it's like settling a little bit in a good way. And like the writing is like not all crazy jokey all the time. I think Carrie is going to like settle into single Carrie a little more, or maybe like get into relationships with other dudes. I say that a little bit just because of like what you said and like what we've heard from people. I feel like I wonder if. No, I was going to say Charlotte. No, Samantha gets in a relationship, but I don't think she's going to yet. And I feel like we're going to get a little more Stanford Blatch. I feel like we're going to have some sort of guy characters coming back. Cause we've had a run of the ladies and a bunch of random dudes. We need like another Rock fifth character person.
Yeah. The Rock.
We need Dwayne Johnson to come in.
Who would The Rock date?
The Rock would date Samantha. The Rock absolutely would have been cast as the big penis dude.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I think the end of this episode where they said, where Carrie said, maybe I couldn't tame, or maybe it wasn't that I couldn't break Big, maybe Big couldn't break me.
Yeah.
I would love to see what that would look like for a man, quote unquote, to break Carrie, to like, to get her to settle down, to get her to not be so wild. And so maybe a boyfriend will enter the show that does that to her.
Interesting.
Yeah. And she realizes she doesn't like it.
Interesting.
And then I think something serious might happen. Like you said, with the tone of the show, we're settling down a little bit. I could see something serious that happens that really tests their friendship. Because yeah, people always say how great their friendships are, how much they admire and love and respect their friendships. And relationships are serious, but I think we need some, like a life event to happen.
Yeah.
Miranda goes to jail.
I think Miranda's going
Miranda
to go
goes to jail. Yeah.
That's what I think she's going to go to Rikers Island for sure.
She's spent an entire season in Rikers. Yeah.
Well, let's do our scores and then we'll end the episode with playing one of your songs. Do you want to choose one of these songs while we do our scores?
And we started this, I think last time, but guys, okay, everyone right now, get ready to write your scores down. Get it in your head, boys.
I've got my score.
I've got my score as well. John, you have your score?
I got my score.
Okay. Elizabeth, you can do your score last. We'll do our three right now. So ready, everyone. Do we want to same at the same time or yep, just go into it? Okay, ready. 1, 2, 3, 4.
3.25.
Okay, John, we are twins.
John's you're a 4?
I was a 4.0.
Nice. And you're 3.2.
Yeah, 3.25.
Why are you 3.25?
You start.
I don't know. There's something about it that seemed like predictable. I kind of knew all the moves. I liked the moves. It's not a bad thing, but... And then I really didn't like the horse thing at the end. I thought that was forced and really a stupid, like, did you tame him? And I just wasn't into it. It could just be a timing thing. Maybe I could watch the same episode tomorrow and give it and be into it. I just wasn't into the horse thing. And then when it tied together in the end, I was like, eh, nah. But I still really enjoyed the episode. 3.25.
I gave it a 4. I think I like and final episodes that like tie up well. Mm-hmm. And I felt like this one, the horse thing is like maybe a little cheesy. And I thought especially there's a shot where the lighting on Carrie is like very highlighted where it's like, I'm going to be off and be my own woman. And that was like a little, but whatever. But I thought that everyone had a pretty strong thing. Thought the writing was pretty strong. And I feel like if I was watching this in real time, I would be like, whoa, that season wrapped up pretty well. We have some things going into next season. Big is engaged, but clearly feels weird about it. Like, I felt like there were some good cliffhangers. And I do feel like even if it was a little cheesy, you kind of go out with like having your heroine go out on top a little bit. Like, yeah. Carrie's like got the road ahead of her. Seemed like it kind of completed some good, I don't know, just some good possibilities for the future.
Yeah, this episode just checked a lot of good boxes. It had some good scenes with all the girls. All of them had a good individual scenes, although Charlotte's was a little bit forced. I loved the scene. I loved having Big back. I loved having Steve back. Overall, I've laughed a lot. I laughed a ton during this episode. I thought there was like a lot of just really funny stuff. Not necessarily like ridiculous gags that happened, but the acting was really, really good. The script was really good. Funny episode. Had fun. Would watch it again. 4.0.
Cool.
Elizabeth Cook.
Oh, I didn't know. I rate it too.
Yeah.
Okay.
And you, it's 1 to 5 Cosmos. You can do half Cosmos, quarter Cosmos.
I'm not used to rating these episodes in these terms, but
it's our own system. We developed it.
Okay.
Took years in a lab.
It's very serious.
I'm gonna go 4.5 Cosmos.
Nice. Nice.
I really do love this episode, and that's in through the filter of having watched all of them, and I think it's because they're. Are some truly some authentic moments there that I could relate to. And then there's the trademark Sex and the City things, the goofy puns, mm-hmm. the fun fashion, mm-hmm. all those things. And then I think I agree with you that there was a nice resolve, yet still some intrigue that's going to play into, well, what's going to happen next? So mm-hmm. it's here. I feel good. I feel like, okay, I'm going to exhale with her at this moment. Mm-hmm. I'm also wondering what's going to happen next, which is, the components of an excellent season finale. Yeah.
I agree.
And then what song on Instagram? You're Elizabeth Cook for Sheriff.
Yes,
I love that.
Yes, I'm making America one county.
That's great.
If you guys knew that. Yeah, that's awesome. It's a new thing. Thanks.
We will vote for you.
Thank you.
Yeah. Before you say the song, where's the best place for people to find you on the internet?
I'm on Instagram. I hang out on Instagram a lot, okay. And all my tour posters and everything gets posted there. And I Insta story like a maniac because I'm single and awesome. Bored, and I've already watched Sex and the City like 5 times. So I have no life. So Elizabeth Cook for Sheriff, and then I have a website as well.
Cool.
I'm on Twitter and Facebook too.
And your music's on Spotify, Apple Music, and you can buy it on there and on iTunes and everything. Great.
Yeah.
And what song are you going to play us out with?
Well, I don't have a new album. My last album came out in 2016. Mm-hmm. And I really was in a thick relationship at that moment. And a lot of the song, everybody thought that the critics and all this stuff thought that this record was going to be about the death of my parents and all these other things that had transpired. But really, they were about this relationship that I was in that I knew was doomed. Yeah. So watching that episode and sort of scanning the songs that are on that record, I thought about the song Slow Pain.
Okay.
It's got... Yeah, some infidelity lyric in there.
Yeah.
Slow Pain.
You know? Wow. All right. Well, then let's go out to Slow Pain. And guys, that's a wrap on season 2 of Sex and the City.
We'll see you guys next week. Thank you so much, Elizabeth.
Thank you guys for having me. I had a blast.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Well, enjoy Slow Pain, guys. We'll see ya.
Bye.
Fingers in last night's wine. I like the way. Bradshaw Boys stars Corey Cavan, John Sieber, and Kevin James Doyle. The show is produced by Jeremy L. Balin. For more information on the guys, check out their website at bradshawboys.com, on social media at The Bradshaw Boys, and if you see them in the street, tip your glass. Thanks for listening.